At the heart of music is silence. This silence, anhad, when made audible, is nad, the primordial sound. Nad is intelligible sound, that which the senses can register. But it is sound that is as yet undifferentiated. It is not as yet refracted through the melodic scale, the saptak's prism, to become organized swar. Perhaps because it is indivisible, nad is also called nad brahma, the supreme reality made manifest through sound. The musician's voice is cradled in this all-embracing womb of sound that the tanpura's drone strives to echo. It is this primordial, pure sound that is evoked, experienced, and communicated through the myriad dramas, the leelas of rag and tal, that the musician creates through his performance. And miraculously, it is through the experience of nad brahma that we merge our individual identities into the eternal, ever-creative ocean of silence that is anhad. Two objects must strike each other to produce nad. There must be aghat. It is significant that aghat means to strike or to wound. It is only when silence is wounded that nad may arise. At the heart of our music, then, is this admission of vulnerability, this recognition that the heart must be pierced. One must willingly surrender oneself to the pain of the wounding of silence. Only then will the joy and beauty of music, the most perfect art form, be born. Anhad can be struck in many ways to produce nad. Beginning with Natya Shastra, several texts enumerate these ways: striking with the palms, with the nails, with wind or the breath, with leather, or with the body. The primary instrument of music making is the human voice. It remains, despite a multitude of instruments, the ideal that every instrument at heart strives to approximate. But why is the voice supreme? It is believed that all instruments, however sophisticated, have limitations, whereas the voice has none. Further, the voice naturally and spontaneously echoes what is heard by the ear. It does not need to analyze or think. The voice, moreover, seems to create music alone without objects external to itself. It is indivisible, self-sufficient. If music is God-given, the human voice is the most perfect example of this precious gift. Vibhushitananga Riputamanga Vibhushitananga Riputamanga Vibhushitananga Riputamanga Vibhushitananga Vibhushitananga Riputamanga. Apart from the human voice, we have learned to create sound and music using a variety of instruments, the vadyas. Each instrument has evolved and developed its own voice, style, and repertoire in consonance with its particular characteristics and possibilities. Ancient texts classify these vadyas into four types. Tantri or tat vadya are stringed instruments. They may be plucked like the sitar. Or bowed like the sarangi. Sushir Vadya are wind instruments like the flute. And the Shehnai. Avanad Vadya, covered instruments, are drums like tabla. And Pakhavaj. Examples of Ghanavadya or solid instruments are manjira or cymbals, gongs and bells. The veena today is called the Bean or the Rudra veena and, though rarely played, is so old as to have mythical associations. One of the most important Tantri Vadya, it is considered to be one of the oldest instruments. Many consider the Rudra veena with its slim, graceful stem or dandi and its two gourd resonators to be Saraswati's own instrument. A moving verse from one of the old texts describes Saraswati, great goddess of art, speech and learning, standing on the shores of the unfathomable ocean of music. She says, "Were it not for my veena, whose gourds keep me afloat, I would drown as I attempt to navigate these waters." Over the centuries, the early instruments have been refined, remodeled, and experimented upon to give us today a range of instruments that are capable of an infinite variety of tonal sound and musical possibility. To appreciate this, one has but to listen to the sounds of the Rudra veena, the sitar, the sarod, the surbahar, the santur, and the sarangi, all examples of stringed instruments. This is the Rudra veena, played by Asad Ali Khan. You would have noticed the instrument's depth and the sonorous gliding movements. Compare now Ravi Shankar's sitar and its silvery sweetness with the more rounded, heavier tones of its cousin, the sarod, played by Amjad Ali Khan. Thank you. listen to the deep, quiet gravity of Imrat Khan's Surbahar. Compare this now with the tripping, water-like delicacy of the santoor played by Shiv Kumar Sharma. Listen to the flowing sound of the violin, played here by N. Rajam. And finally, listen to the Sarangi's plaintive cry as expressed by Ram Narayan. Here now are two wind instruments. The first, the simple bamboo flute, is played here by Hari Prasad Chaurasia. This vadya, beloved of Krishna, embodies a pastoral sweetness. It seems to evoke Krishna's ras and the eternal bliss of Vrindavan, and simultaneously the yearning of the individual soul for the universal soul. In contrast is Bismillah Khan's Shehnai, associated with all things auspicious. The Shehnai is a sound that traditionally marked all transitions in human life, individual and collective, in the life of the earth and in the lives of the gods. It holds the attention and arrests time and space with its strident sound that verges on harshness. Listen to the difference now between two avanadhvadya. The tabla is played here as a jugal bandi by Allah Rakha Khan and Zakir Hussain. This instrument comprises a pair of drums played together. The duality in its appearance seems to be reflected in the sounds of this instrument, whose daya, played with the right hand, speaks with a light, clear, quicksilver tongue, and whose baya, played with the left, has a rounder, heavier sound. Thank you. The pakhavaj, played here by Ram Kishore Das, is a two-faced drum held parallel to the ground. In contrast to the clearer, lighter sound of the tabla, this instrument is heavier, deeper. Like the tabla, the right face of the pakhavaj is marked with a black, inky paste, but the left is covered with a paste of dough. It is this that helps create the strong tandav, masculine qualities that the pakhavaj is able to evoke. The shape and form of each instrument determines not merely its sound quality, but also the possible musical paths it can take, that is, both musical form and content. In turn, this determines the main context of the instrument's performance. A striking example of this is the sarangi, a string instrument that is bowed rather than plucked. The sarangi's continuous tone is considered to come closest to the human voice. Traditionally, therefore, sarangi has been used as an accompanying instrument with vocal music. This rendering of Mishr Bhairavi by Ram Narayan highlights the sarangi's voice-like quality and style of playing.